Hi, everybody. Welcome to Wednesday. I almost forgot what today is. Actually, today is the 13th of March, and we're like almost in the middle of the third month of this year. Anyway, today we're talking about the crucifixion, okay? I've gotten emails from Spotify. They're having issues with the crucifixion. I'm sharing about Jesus' crucifixion over 2,000 years ago when he died for you and for me. I'm reading from the Bible, those of you who are watching over me. In John chapter 19, before we get there, I just want to let you know, go ahead and subscribe to my YouTube channel, subscribe to my podcast page, let's just go for there. It's, you can subscribe, like, comment, and share these things. That helps us out. Tom and Sarah, on both of those pages, my podcast and also my YouTube channel. In John chapter 19, verse 17. Remember, Pilate, handed Jesus over to the Jews, and the Roman soldiers seized him and took him away. And then in verse 17, Jesus carried his own cross out of the city to the place called the Skull, which is, in Aramaic, is Golgotha. Now, up until about 450 BC, Aramaic was the language of the Jews when they returned from Babylon. All right. And then it was like over 1,000 years is when Aramaic was one of their languages. And so, so when he says Aramaic, it's called Golgotha, the place of the skull. That's how it was translated. And there they nailed him to the cross, and he was crucified along with two others. Patricia, so good to see you. It's like this. God is doing some great, great things. I'm going to message you a little later as well. I feel like, we'll just do that. I just sense God doing some great things over you. I was watching a little bit of that worship time you had last night. I was just watching it, and tremendous. And just to see the presence of the Holy Spirit come on you. Well, anyway, Jesus is crucified for us, 2,000 years ago, over 2,000 years ago, Jesus hung on the cross for you and for me. They nailed him to this cross. Now, sometimes they would tie you to the cross, and you would lose your, you wouldn't be able to breathe. You basically would suffocate. All right. Well, they nailed Jesus to the cross. It was brutal. It was absolutely brutal. And this is the thing. Jesus hung there. Now, one of the Gospels talks about Simon. Talks about Simon carrying the cross for Jesus along this path, the place of, the Via Dolorosa. And he helped carry the cross. And Jesus is nailed to this cross, and he had two others, one on each side, and Jesus was in the middle. And Pilate had them post a sign over the cross, which was written in three languages, Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. Now, Latin was the language of the Romans. And he also had it in Greek. And many of the people of Jerusalem read the sign, for he was crucified near the city. Now, what they did was they crucified you so that people would be afraid. The Romans crucified you on the road so that people would be afraid to go against the Roman Empire that they didn't want to have. And these people would be literally suffocating in front of them. So they would put a sign on the cross that that dictated the crime, whatever crime they committed, so that people would stop doing that. Well, the sign over Jesus was written in Aramaic, Greek, and Latin, and it said, Jesus of Nazareth, king of the Jews. That's what his crime was. But the chief priests of the Jews, the obvious irony here, of these two phrases, king of the Jews and the chief priests of the Jews, it's really funny. But the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, you must change the sign. Do not let it say king of the Jews, but rather he claimed to be the king of the Jews. And Pilate responded, what I've written, I have written. The irony is that Jesus' crime was king of the Jews. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, were called the chief priests of the Jews. I don't know what it is. I'm having problem with connections, but it is what it is. Anyway, this is what ends up happening. And then he said that in verse 23, now the soldiers, when the soldiers crucified Jesus, they divided up his clothes into four shares for each one of them. But his tunic was seamless, woven from the top to the bottom as a single garment. The Aramaic could be translated that the tunic was woven from above. And that's a big deal. It's like it started at the neckline here and went around and around and around and around and woven it. And they didn't want to rip it, so they cast lots for it. But it was woven from above. And basically, it was an emblem. The tunic was an emblem of his righteousness, of his holiness, perfect holiness as one who came, quote, from above. As believers, we are now clothed, according to Romans, we are clothed with God's righteousness, that seamless garment that he had. So they ended up casting lots. So the soldiers said to each other, don't fear, don't tear it, just throw the dice and whoever gets it, gets it. And then the soldiers did all of this, not knowing that they fulfilled the scriptures that says, they divided my garments among them and gambled for my garment. Hi, Hilda. Now Mary, Jesus' mother, was standing next to the cross. And along with Mary's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene, many scholars believe that Mary's sister, Jesus' aunt, was Salome. This would have meant that she was the wife, this would mean she was the wife of Zebedee and the mother of Jacob or James and John, the writer of this gospel. It would also mean that Jacob or James and John were cousins of Jesus as well through marriage. So, they believe that, so we have Mary's sister, Mary the wife, I love this, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, she was the woman that had many demons cast out of her, okay? She followed Jesus. And so when Jesus looked down and saw the disciple he loved standing with her and said, Mother, his mother, look, John will be a son to you, right? So basically he was saying, John, you are going to take care of my mom. All right, it was Jesus' responsibility. And Jesus gave that responsibility to John. And then he said, John, look, she will be a mother to you. From that day on, John accepted Mary into his home as one of his own family. Hi, Steve. And so Jesus is hanging on the cross. But this is the best part. He's not giving up. He's not just blowing it off. He's not. He's still taking care of the responsibilities. What's going on here? I have no idea what just happened. There we go. He's not shunning his responsibilities. What he's doing is he's taking his responsibilities and giving them to John. And John loves it. John says, yeah, I'm going to do that. So John takes care of Mary from that day on. And Jesus was kind of ruling from the cross. He's like, okay, take care of that. They're going to divide my robe. Okay, good. They're going to cast lots for my robe. They're not going to rip them. I'm not going to carry my cross all the way. I'll have Simon do it some of the way. Jesus was still in charge of his own life. The Bible says that Jesus freely gave his life. Freely. The Father didn't kill him. So now Jesus is hanging on this cross. And I want to tell you, he did it for you. And he did it for me. He did it for his seven redemptive names. I love those. It says that he is provider. He is our refuge. He is our righteousness. He is our shepherd. He is our peace. He is our provider. He is our healer. All of those were paid for on the cross. Your life was paid for on the cross. Jesus actually took back the keys of the kingdom on the cross. His blood was spilled. The Bible talks about Jesus being the propitiation. The propitiation is a big word that actually means the thing used to pay the ransom. The blood of Jesus, which cleanses us from all sin. Jesus is hanging on the cross and he's, you know, giving orders. I wonder how Pilate thought in this situation here. What was Pilate thinking in this situation? His wife came up to him and said, "Have nothing to do with this man." And yet he did. The Jews wanted nothing to do. The Jewish leaders of that day wanted nothing to do with Jesus dying. So they couldn't be responsible for it. The Romans carried out the beating. The Romans carried out the crucifixion. And he's hanging on the cross. He's bleeding, literally bleeding. I've never had nails put in my hands. I've never had a crown of thorns put on me. Jesus did it for me. But I have been crucified with Christ. And it's not I who live, but Christ lives in me. And I want to tell you that Jesus broke the power of sin over your life. And I know a lot of people are talking about such and such a preacher doesn't preach about sin. All right? My question is, and I preach about sin. Sin is, you know, evil. God hates it. Things that go against what he wants. Gossip is as much a sin as adultery. And God hates all of it. The seventh thing that God hates is something that causes or someone that causes dissension among the brethren. Take that into the sin account as well. I believe that sin separates us from God. I believe we came into the world and at the age of accountability, which I believe is different for everybody, sin entered us. We needed a savior. Jesus dies on the cross so that we can be freed from sin. And we can concentrate on sin and we can focus on the wrongs. We can focus on wrong or... What Jesus did was he wants us to focus on the being conformed into his image. He wants us to be focused on being conformed into his image. Sin cost Jesus his life. If Adam didn't sin, this wouldn't have ever have happened. But Jesus knew that Adam was going to fall. And Jesus took the blame, took our place on the cross. And we just take up our cross daily and follow him. So Jesus knew in verse 28 that his mission was accomplished. And to fulfill the scripture, Jesus said, "I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty." How thirsty are you for the purity of Jesus? How thirsty are you for God? Verse 29, a jar of sour wine was sitting nearby, so they soaked a sponge within it and put it on a stalk of hyssop. And hyssop, you know, is used to cleanse lepers. The sour wine was to be almost an anesthetic, to make the pain subside. And then he sipped the wine and he said, "It is finished, my bride. It is finished, my bride. It has accomplished." And then he bowed his head and surrendered his spirit to God. Now, the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies of the victims to remain on the cross through the next day, since it was the day of preparation for a very important Sabbath. So they asked Pilate's permission to have the victims' legs broken to hasten their death and their bodies taken down before sunset. So the soldiers broke the legs of the two men who were nailed there, but when they came to Jesus, they realized that he had already died, so they decided not to break his legs. But one of the soldiers took a spear and pierced Jesus' side, and blood and water gushed out. "Unless you are born of water and of the Spirit," okay, Jesus said in John 3. He pierced his side, and blood and water came out. And a lot of people believe that Jesus actually died of a broken heart. But Jesus gave himself willingly. And then verse 35, "And I, John, do testify to the certainty of what took place. And I write the truth so that you may also believe. For all these things happened to fulfill the prophecies of the scriptures. Not one of his bones will be broken, and they will gaze on the one whom they have pierced." He's telling the truth. During this time, the sky became dark. Now, after this, Joseph from a city of Ramah, which is Arimathea, he was a secret disciple of Jesus for fear of the Jewish authorities, asked Pilate if he could remove the body of Jesus. So Pilate granted him permission to remove the body from the cross. And now Nicodemus, who had once come to Jesus privately at night, accompanied Joseph, and together they carried a significant amount of myrrh aloes to the cross. And then they took Jesus' body and wrapped it in strips of linen and embalming spices according to the Jewish burial customs. Near the place where Jesus was crucified was a garden. And in that garden there was a new tomb where no one had yet been laid to rest. And because of the Sabbath was approaching, the tomb was nearby. That's where they laid the body of Jesus. So Jesus freely gave his life for us. He freely died for our sins, so that we who have a free will can give our lives willingly to Jesus. Now, in the Old Testament, there was a law that you couldn't touch a dead person, because then you'd be unclean unclean. I can't remember if it was for 7 days or that night. Yeah, it was that till evening. You were unclean. You had to be told by the priest that you were clean. Now, Joseph, who was a Pharisee, and Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, took the body and had a ton of myrrh and aloes, and they embalmed Jesus according to the Jewish burial customs. They wrapped Jesus and then laid him in the tomb. I'm sure, and I want to, we'll get into something in a second, but first let me tell you, I'm going to school next year, to Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. That's my desire. And I'm going to be going, I want to just get closer to Jesus. I really want to be closer to Jesus. And I'm asking if anybody would be willing to help financially for this ministry, just to give into this ministry. And you can contact me at tomandsarah@outlook.com. Not Tom and Sarah. That's not that. tomandsarah@outlook.com. And I can tell you how to give and invest into my schooling. It's a 1 year school. So it's a 9 month. Actually, I think it's 9 months. And so I need to raise $5,460. Is left over from it, and I'm asking you if you would be willing to invest. Like, comment, and share on my Facebook channel, on my podcast, on my YouTube channel. Like, comment, and share those things. Click on the notification, subscribe, and this helps out the ministry as well. I have two books for sale. One of them is called From Breakdown to Breakthrough, My Journey to Soul Health. It's a resource I'm bringing soul health to people, and came out of a nervous breakdown, and God healed me, set me free, gave me some resources. And my other book, which was my first book, was SOS, A 50-Day Journey into the Heart of God. And and that is basically just a devotional geared to 5 to 10 minutes a day. I'm writing three other books now. I'm going to need investments in those books as well. One of them is a sequel to SOS. It's continuing with the Song of Solomon, and dealing with some more things to talk about. Also, I have I'm writing another book. It's called Our Identity in Bringing Soul Health, Believing Who You Are in God for Soul Health. And then the third book I'm writing, really, really cool, is Moments with Jesus. And I've had quite a few of them in my 50 plus years, and I'm looking forward to more. tomandsarah@outlook.com. I'll post here, and on the YouTube channel, I'll post it in the description, how to give into that ministry. Pray about it and ask God. I don't want your tithe, but I do want your, I'm asking you to invest. Any donation of $20 or more, and I'll send you those two books, which also covers the shipping and handling. All right, let's get back to this. It's almost funny that Jesus was kind of like, this is the first Airbnb, the first VRBO, the first thing, because Jesus only needed it for the weekend. He didn't need it. He didn't need the tomb forever. He just needed it for the weekend. I love that song. There's a song, I Only Need It for the Weekend. It's a borrowed tomb. Many believe it was Joseph of Arimathea who owned the tomb, and it was never, nobody was ever buried in it, and it was a new tomb. And then they put Jesus in there. But he only needed it for the weekend. He wasn't going to stay dead. And Jesus, we'll talk about the resurrection tomorrow, but Jesus on the cross, and a lot of people want to leave Jesus there because he's safe. He's safe. But Jesus didn't stay dead. But Jesus on the cross shed his blood. And it's ironic that they had to have the spotless lambs ready for sacrifice. They had to have the spotless lambs ready for the sacrifice for the Passover. And Jesus was our spotless lamb. Well, anyway, God bless you guys. Thank you so much for joining me today. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the resurrection. Pray into all that God's about ready to do for me. And so I thank you for just being a part of my life. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next time.